Pleased to say that my first guest has arrived in the studio today. It's Robin, and along with Robin is Boo the Anxiety Dog. How you doing, Robin?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. And is Boo fine today? Are you all right, Boo?
We're going to see if we get her to give you a bark.
Come on.
Say hello, Boo. She says no. She says, I've got the bacon, but say hello.
Ah, there yes, there she is. Lovely. Hello, Boo. She's absolutely gorgeous. Is she a beagle?
She is a beagle.
She is a beagle. Lovely, lovely dog. Well, Robin, Time to Talk Day. Great initiative. Is it something that you've got involved in this year and last year as well?
Involved last year. I was on Phoenix FM last year as well.
Good man.
Yeah, we're drawing attention. I think it's great that people out there are talking about mental health and that we're drawing some attention to something that's generally a touchy subject.
Well, that's right. I don't mind saying that I'm a sufferer myself from time to time and have been for many years. I think the key point I find is that people who haven't suffered find it difficult to deal with, really.
Well, I think they find it difficult to relate.
Yes.
So they often misunderstand the simpler concepts because they assume there's something wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that is the whole point of Time to Talk Day, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Would you like to talk about your own experiences of mental health problems?
I've heard voices forever, really, since as long as I can remember.
Right.
And I started off with private care in London and was well looked after. I was picked up, thankfully, by the school privately, and I paid for my own private care. My family wasn't exactly supportive, so yeah, there wasn't much support from there, but I got through. I left London to come under the NHS, actually, because of a personal experience. Came under the NHS and my mental health deteriorated.
Right.
And they classified me like a number, and I felt very out of place, and I was sectioned several times.
Right.
And unnecessarily, because they put you on medications and not consider the side effects first. And it's sort of a process in the NHS to find your way to where you should be.
Right.
I've since moved to private care and stabilised in no time at all without medication, proper and full support. So
good. Well, you seem in great shape now.
Yeah, my family's taken on a lot more supportive nature in my later life. So
right. I mean, by the sound of it, what you experienced was pretty severe. Did you find easy and quick access to help?
Do you know what? It can be. It's a really hit and miss experience in the system.
Yeah.
If you have the money to pay out privately, then there's a lot more flexibility in how it will work. But under the NHS system, it's generally a few weeks before you'll hear anything back. They tend to say approach the GP first.
Yeah.
And that's always a good place, is to just talk to someone. I mean, the GPs are generally quite good at picking up if there's a severe problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you're in the system, the help is there.
Yeah.
It's just making sure you find someone you're comfortable with, really.
Sure.
If you're not happy with your first doctor, don't be shy to ask for a second opinion.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the help is out there. Yes. In my own personal experience, it's getting timely access to the help, I find.
The NHS is getting better. There is a lot more recognition out there now. If you're at work at the moment, talking to someone in work about it is always a good step. Just finding anyone you can relate to and just mention it and have that support network. I mean, anyone can support you.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be a professional, so long as you're talking.
That's right. And so, whatever works for you, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us all about Boo. Boo is, I've got Boo labelled as an anxiety dog. Yeah. Now, this is new to me.
Well,
so
we're working under the label of therapy dog at the moment.
Okay.
But we're struggling with recognition, you see. There's many charities and companies and organisations out there that train animals as companion pets, I think it's called, or companion dogs. You've got psychological assistance dogs,
but
they're a smaller charity and they're struggling at the moment. Things like guide dogs get recognition instantly.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's a visual, it's not a hidden disability.
Yeah.
There's an obvious problem.
Yeah.
And one of the big issues we found is that insurance companies aren't always willing to jump on the service bandwagon if it's a psychological dog.
How strange.
Because we're considered to be, as soon as there's a mental health condition in the frame, we're considered to be unviable. It's not always the case, don't get me wrong.
No, but
a lot of the struggles we've had, we're recognised in a lot of places. Greg's is a bit of free promotion for Greg's.
Okay.
They're our local one in the Langdon Centre. They're fantastic. We can get in there. We've never had a problem with a bank.
Okay.
The post office is great. You know, a lot of the bigger companies are now starting to recognise us.
Good, good.
Smaller local shops are getting better again. There's Martin's, again, in the Langdon Centre. We're very well recognised in Basildon.
Right.
But when we get to the high street retailers, we're struggling with recognition because we lack a tag. Now, Boo's been specially hand-trained to work with me with my issues.
Yeah.
But finding a company that will allow her under their recognition is very difficult.
Yeah,
so we are beginning a charity of our own, if you were.
Oh, okay. Will,
to gather recognition for animals that work in the service industry with psychological issues.
Okay.
So,
and this is that barrier again, isn't it, that we're all trying to overcome, and that's what Time to Talk Day is all about.
It is,
it?
Very
yeah,
much so.
Yeah. So, what's the name of your organisation?
Well, we are struggling at this at the moment,
right.
You see. We have many, many names on a piece of paper, but none of them seem to quite fit the bill.
Okay.
So we're kind of asking listeners if they'd like to come up with an idea.
Okay.
Get their name on the board and they might be on our dogs in no time at all.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, if you've got any ideas for Robin's organisation, email them in, radio@phoenixfm.com. We'd be grateful for all your suggestions. Well, for now, Robin, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks very much.
Play a bit of music and we'll be back on the subject of Time to Talk very shortly.
Brilliant.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
So people are being encouraged to spend 5 minutes today talking about mental health as part of the second annual Time to Talk Day. And I'm pleased to say I'm joined in the studio now by Wayne Banks. Hello, Wayne.
Hiya, how
are
you?
Hello, yes, I'm fine, thank you, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. We'll come to Wayne in a minute, but we've got a little bit of unfinished business with Robin and Boo, haven't we, Robin?
We do.
Now, you were telling me off-air about a story from Australia. Now, tell me more.
Yeah. There was a kangaroo kicked out of McDonald's with its owner, even though it was a therapy animal.
Right. Unusual choice of therapy animal.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
But you know what? We could do anything. I've worked with a snake as a therapy animal before now.
Right.
So it can be done.
Right.
It just takes dedication.
You were explaining to me earlier, and I have to admit, I didn't really get this. There's a difference between a therapy animal and a service animal, is it?
Yeah. Service animals have unmolested access to anywhere.
Okay.
It comes under, I think it's the Equalities Act.
Right.
That says they must make reasonable adjustment.
Okay.
Reasonable adjustment is fantastic. I'm studying a law degree and I've learned so much about it. It's silly.
Okay.
But the big term for anyone with a mental health problem or any disability for that matter to remember is reasonable adjustment. All companies must make reasonable adjustment for your health.
Okay, and in the case of a service animal, then that is granted, and you get
it
that.
Is, yeah.
But in the case of a therapy animal, you don't.
It's very muddy water in this area.
Yeah, yeah.
Some places, as I was saying earlier, there's a list of companies that will let us in, but then every now and then you get a Jobsworth
right
that just doesn't recognise that she's a working dog.
Okay.
So it happens a lot. It's not just us. There are many, many people across the country with this problem.
Yeah, this is getting access to shops and restaurants and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's just gathering recognition, really.
Yeah.
Some shops already recognise that animals work in a therapy capacity time. But having a recognition or even a body to register with would be so useful.
Yes, and if you could have maybe some ID with you to present.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as we were saying earlier, finding an organisation willing to put a label onto an animal working with a psychiatric patient is incredibly difficult.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
to say they're not there, it's to say that they don't always get the recognition
right.
that they should.
And you're working to sort of move forward with this.
We are,
aren't you?
Yeah. We're working to move this forward, hopefully with the registration body for any animal working in the therapy or service industry.
Yeah. Brilliant.
They're recognised in the US, I think.
They are. They're recognised in the US.
Yeah.
We worked personally to the US guidelines, which do have a specific section for psychiatric dogs.
Okay, brilliant.
So,
all right, Robin, thank you very much.
Bless.
Turning to Wayne, it's lovely to see you again.
And you.
Been here for a while.
Absolutely, it's brilliant to see you.
Yeah. Actually, can I ask you to move?
You
because
can.
That microphone sounds a bit peculiar at the moment. Let's.
That's me, actually.
No, it's not. No, that's much better. Well done. Oh, thank you. Right. So, time to Talk Day. No. You've been quite a mover in this local area, haven't you?
I suppose I've done the last two. All I do really is send out an email last minute to everyone and say, please come down to the radio station and we'll talk about mental health. And yep. It worked last year and it worked this year.
Right. So well, I hope it is. You're involved with the, is it, forgive me if I get it wrong, it's the Essex Mental Health Community?
We are, yeah. I think I've sort of got a number of hats on now. So probably since last time we met, I work for SEPT, I work for Mind Central and a number of National Mental Health Services right. as well, and the Fitness in Mind team.
Brilliant.
So that's our new, well, not new, we started a year ago today.
Yes,
we announced it here on Phoenix FM with Nikki Smith.
Yep.
And today we start our first netball class, actually.
Okay, so give us an overview of Fitness in Mind, if you wouldn't mind.
We all know that physical activity improves mental well-being. It's recognised, it's studied, there's cases in the research programmes, but what people haven't done is used peer support as part of that programme. So what we've introduced is people with lived experience of mental health working as fitness instructors or peer support workers to encourage people to have move from inactivity to an active life on a regular basis. What we have done in the last year is trained up people in gym instruction. So okay. Sam, who's in the class today, netball class, is a qualified gym instructor and is able to take a class under supervision from someone who's qualified as a personal instructor.
Okay.
And we also have peer support workers, which I'm one of, and we also have Dave and Jenny, and today we have Anna as well.
Right, yeah.
And that's Renata out the window.
Yes, okay, right.
Who's one of our instructors.
Right.
The idea is to give people the opportunity to get involved without the stress of competition. It's more to do with companionship right. and
getting the exercise because it is magic. I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunately I've slipped out of a good habit of doing regular exercise now, which is accounts for my ever expanding waistline.
If you come to yoga classes on Tuesdays, you'll be able to get back into that.
Indeed, I have done yoga and I did a lot of walking and I found that wonderful. At the end of a good walk where I really pushed myself, just got the endorphins going,
absolutely.
I suppose, and it makes you feel wonderful.
I did find something similar when I got the therapy dog, actually going out and walking in the night time, especially when it's a bit quieter, mm-hmm. and it encourages you out, it gives you a safety net.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant.
Bearing in mind, do a walking class as well. I think it's on a Monday.
Right.
Run by Tony.
Tony Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a number of health walks organised by Brentwood Council.
Right.
And they are trying to get mental health involved on that side as well.
Excellent. Okay, well, we've just been joined in the studio by Renata.
Renata.
Yes.
Renata. Okay. And you're, I believe, a Step Into Yoga Fitness in Mind instructor. Is that right?
I certainly am. I've come into the Fitness in Mind project through the yoga side of things. I'm a yoga teacher, having struggled with mental stresses myself as well, and found through yoga not just practicing yoga but actually living yoga real relief on those issues. So with that as a background, when asked if I wanted to come in to teach the yoga class of the program, I said straight away yes.
Brilliant. And it's surprising how many people who have previously suffered go on to become sort of instructors and to help other people. It's very, very common. So there's one thing I'm really keen to find out about. Doreen's not here. I believe they're playing what is it, netball?
Netball,
I think?
Today, yeah. Yeah.
But Doreen is a mental health first aider. Now,
she
I've
is.
Never heard of that. Can you explain the concept to me?
Yeah, it's been around for a few years. I think it started in Australia.
Yeah.
It's now an internationally recognised qualification, and it's a two-day training course to give people experience of the symptoms and signs of mental distress.
Right.
It's not specifically about any particular condition, it's just the general signs and how you would support that person. It's the same as a physical first aider,
right,
who would be there if you scrape your knee, yeah, if you break your leg.
Yeah.
And in the centre, we have a number of people that are trained in physical first aid, but we didn't have one trained in mental
right,
first aid,
yeah,
and that's
yeah,
very common.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided we're training every staff member in mental first aid, Doreen being one of them. I'm pleased to say that Rob, who was also trained in mental first aid, was our first person last week to deal with the situation himself.
Right.
So he felt comfortable enough to go up to a person who was suffering from mental distress at the time, sit with them, comfort them, and talk them through.
Fantastic. Well, the main thing is identifying it in the first place,
yeah,
I guess. And is this being rolled out generally to sort of private companies? Do you know?
Part of Essex Mental Health Community and a company called Interact Chelmsford, they offer free training for mental health first aid for 16 people per course. We've got two new courses starting this year, one in May, one in March, I think.
Okay.
We give some details out another time. And it allows people that either have mental health problems to understand their own mental health problems a bit better, or people that may need to support other people, that confidence. And I suppose that's what it is. It's about confidence,
sure,
to go up to that person and say, I can help you.
Fantastic. Yeah, excellent. Oh, it's Bob Simpson on 1-2-3 on Time to Talk Day, and I've just been handed my Time to Talk badge. Excellent, thank you. It says, I've had my conversation, have you? Well, we're having it now, so there we are. Renata, if I got that right, sorry.
Perfect.
Lovely. Yoga.
Yes.
I know the benefits of yoga. Would you like to tell everybody else?
Yoga is trying to work the whole body rather than just the physical side of things. So we're trying to bring the breath and the movement together. And while we're doing that, we're working on all different levels of the body. So the mind particularly is quite often very busy in our day-to-day life.
Oh, yes.
And while we're in yoga, we try to focus, for example, on the breathing. And it has got a side effect which stills the mind. The mind hasn't got that much time to think about things. Still goes on in the background sometimes, but in general it stills the mind, and as the mind gets stiller, the hormones in the body happen to go in the right direction as well. So there's a lot of calmness and peace inside the body, and it then just filters out into our daily life again. So yoga is the way to bring happiness back into life as well, in a quite natural and healthy way.
Okay, excellent. Yes.
My favourite class as well, but don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to be impartial.
I know. Again, it's something that I've let slip, really, yoga. I did a lot of yoga going back some time, and I do recall I could be walking into the yoga session feeling awful, and by the time I came out, I was floating on air. Absolutely wonderful. If you've never tried it, give it a go. It's absolutely fantastic.
I didn't like the lycra.
You have to wear comfortable clothes. There's no lycra necessary.
It's naked, these ones that we do on a Tuesday anyway, so come down to those ones.
Really? Wasn't aware of that.
That should be interesting.
You told me to use my mind, so I did.
That's it. Put me in. Okay, so, I mean, talking generally about people, I mean, everybody has mental health. Mm-hmm. It's just some of us have, shaky mental health.
Exactly.
What small things can everyone do to support people with mental health issues, Wayne?
Talking, which is what we're talking about today. So having those 5-minute conversations to make it easier for people who are struggling,
yeah,
with day-to-day life, to be able to seek help, either through family, friends, or clinical support if they need it. It's those small little things make a huge difference to someone with mental health problems. Everyone will have their own coping mechanisms, and you've got to learn which ones work for you. But to me, it's those conversations that work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, Wayne, in this particular area, great credit to you for getting things rolling. You've achieved fantastic things, and I don't even know the half of it, but you know, from what I see, I think you personally have really made a big difference here.
And it's made a difference to me. So I didn't necessarily do it for altruistic reasons. It was for my own mental health. I have bipolar disorder, struggled quite heavily over the last few years, and I needed to focus on something that improved not only other people's lives but mine as well.
It's a win-win, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Okay, so anyone out there who feels they need help, where can they go?
Always suggest the GP first.
Yep.
That's where we recommend. They're the experts. They can give you advice if you need to take that support further through psychiatrists or for therapy for you. But there are other organisations. You have Brentwood Mind, and I know me and you are big fans of Brentwood
Mind. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they do a brilliant service there. There are other organisations such as Synergy, Brentwood Community Print, Brentwood Council are working on the Mental Health Challenge now, something that we've introduced in the last couple of years, and it's bringing awareness to what's going on in the local borough, making Brentwood a mentally friendly area.
Yeah, fantastic. And Fitness in Mind, of course.
Yes, you're always welcome.
So. Yes. So is there a website? Is there some contact details?
I've got to get this right now.
I suppose if you Google Fitness in Mind Brentwood,
But we're on the it's www.brentwood-centre.co.uk/fitness-in-mind, and that's got all of our new programs on there, 4 free classes and 2 subsidized classes.
Fantastic.
For anyone over 16 now as well.
Oh, really? Oh, right. It was over 18, wasn't it?
It was 18 to 25. Yeah. We've now extended 16 to any age.
Yeah, well, I think that's excellent because I don't know if there's been a huge increase, but the spotlight has been put on mental health problems in young people lately.
Yeah.
It's getting to epidemic levels, isn't it? I think
it's not good out there at the moment.
No.
We don't offer a course last year. De-stress swim for young people under 16. And what we've realised is there's nothing out there for young people. There aren't any services other than clinical. There aren't any services that they can go and have a supported environment. So we're working on that, but it's more specialised, and we need to get that one right first.
Well, I'm sure with your track record, you'll get it moving.
Good man.
Well, what can I say? It's absolutely brilliant you've all come in today and shared your experiences and your knowledge with us. Of course, we at Phoenix FM are always keen to support and help in any way we can. So use us again.
We will.
Whenever you need to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wayne, Renata, Robin, and Boo. Can we have goodbye from Boo?
She can get her bacon. Yeah. Laying down quite happily on the floor at the moment.
Come on, Boo.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Say hello for the mic. She says no.
No?
Say hello.
Yay! We did it. Well done. Fantastic. Thanks again. Cheers.
Thanks.